call it that.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're already talking sports already.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Gotta stay cue of that. Party started. Here we go.
Yes, sir.
Do not adjust your dial. We are officially talking sports with the 12 man Monday, December the 7th, as we always do. And without, you know, further ado, I'd like to introduce myself. As you heard in the intro, I am Dr. Dre, Andre Peterson, some of my fellow co-hosts. And let's introduce him off the cuff, Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. Even though this game is terrible to watch, I'm still going to watch it. But it's been a good fantasy weekend, but a good weekend, period. I'm good, bro. How you been doing?
That's what's up, man. Been fantastic, as always, sir. You know, trying to do my thing, stay busy. All that jazz. Let's kick it off to our other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. No complaints at all. Not that complaining will help much anyway.
Good deal. And like you said, we are officially ready to get this party started. Let's give out some numbers, gentlemen, for those that want to call in the show, follow us, everything as we always do if you want to call into the show. That number is always 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. That's our handle. And then finally, we're also on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/12man sports, or if you actually type in Talking Sports with 12 Man, you will find us in that instance as well. So, gentlemen, we got a lot of topics to discuss. Let's kick it off with the Heisman finalists. Mr. Rob Porter, what are your thoughts about the finalists right now? A pretty good class, I would say. And I don't know if there's any surprises in your vantage point. We'll talk about these the finalists, if you will, as we kind of get the show off, sir.
Well, yeah, no surprises on the top three guys. I couldn't agree more with it. Deshaun Watson, of course, quarterback from Clemson. They're undefeated, you know, explosive offensive team. He's been getting it done throwing the football as well as running it. And then, of course, Derrick Henry of Alabama. I mean, this guy's been carrying the ball 45 times a game the last few weeks. Unbelievable. And so he obviously Florida contained him maybe for about three quarters of this game this past week, but still had a phenomenal game carrying the ball, I think, exactly 44 times against Florida. He's been over 40, I think, the last few weeks. And then, of course, McCaffrey from Stanford. You know, he's had a phenomenal season as well. Those are your three Heisman finalists. I don't have a problem with that being the final three guys, not at all.
I like it. JQ, what are your thoughts? We got two sophomores in this in the ranking here. What are your thoughts about this, sir?
The thing I'm more surprised about is they went down to only three. I really thought there would be five, and I thought Ezekiel Elliott would be one, and I thought that Reynolds from Navy would be the other one. That means that the Bowman is – they clearly have separated themselves. They only run those three to New York for the ceremony. I mean, but you can't argue with those three. And – I still think Derrick Henry wins, but Christian McCaffrey is just loading up a stat sheet right now. And when you watch what he's doing, it's phenomenal. You look at his final numbers and, you know, receiving, sometimes throwing, rushing, kickoff, punt return. I mean, he just fills it up, almost like trying to get a triple-double, so to speak, in basketball. I still think Henry wins, but I think McCaffrey is a closer second than people might give him credit for. He put a statement together these past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think Henry wins as well, but I actually think Watson should be getting more talk as well, but I think it's definitely going to be Henry that brings it home.
Good call, gentlemen. Like you said, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. If Derrick Henry pulls out, he'll be the last. He'll be the first running back since Mark Ingram did it in 2009. That's a pretty big call, and obviously playing for your Saints, Rob. So the last couple winners have been quarterbacks. We'll see if Derrick Henry
also the Alabama running back.
Yeah. So that's what that would as well. And so we'll keep that in mind, gentlemen. I think that's a good call for the Heisman watch. I think Derrick Henry's going to run a little too. You know, like I said, Deshaun, sometimes you get that magic moment, but I think without further ado, everyone's probably going to pick Derrick Henry to win that. All right, JQ, get ready, sir. We're going to talk about the College Football Final Four and a couple of other bowl matchups, and I'll kind of put that to Rob. But what do you think about the College Football Final Four? Are you okay with that? Are any surprises from your vantage point, JQ?
No, not really. I think the only thing that was a little surprising is they changed the season. That Michigan State-Iowa game was a classic. I mean, that was fantastic, and that was probably the best drive I've ever seen by a team. 22 plays, you just don't see that for 9 minutes. So I could see bumping them up, but honestly, I thought that was going to happen because they want that Alabama-Oklahoma final, so they had to get them out of the semi together at 2-3. So a little change in the guard, and I know I'm a conspiracy theorist, so you have to just go with me on that one. But I think Michigan State did look good, and I mean, but outside of that, nothing else that really changed. The same four that deserved to go, and we're going to get two really good matchups. You're going to get another SEC Big Ten matchup, and I know Alabama fans are chomping at the bit to knock off a Big Ten team. And then you get Clemson and Oklahoma, which I think is going to be a fantastic game. I think Alabama wins but in that game, and I think the Clemson one is up for grabs. I think it's going to be nice. And North Carolina and Baylor in that Armed Forces Bowl I like a lot too. And the Fiesta Bowl – oh, you told me just the Final Four, didn't you? I'm sorry. My bad. The Final Four.
You can go ahead. I said Final Four and other bowl matchups. So, yeah, you can go ahead and feature some other games that you like.
Okay. Well, you know me. I think the Fiesta Bowl officials had to be during the Cabbage Patch when Notre Dame and Ohio State fell to them. In terms of fan bases and the kind of money they're going to make at that game in Arizona, that's going to be ridiculous. I like the North Carolina-Baylor game. I think that's going to be a shootout. And I like Stanford and Iowa. That's going to be a slugfest. I think that's going to be a nice game as well. But I think the Fiesta Bowl, outside of those two semifinals, I think the Fiesta Bowl is the one that's going to be the best matchup and the one against the highest rating of people watching.
Good deal. Rob Ford on you, my friend.
You mean to tell me you're not excited about the Cure Bowl, Georgia State versus San Jose State?
Yeah, no,
first 5-7.
No, but the thing about it though is I'm gonna watch it. Is the thing about it is I'm gonna watch it.
Oh man. Well, yeah. Talking about these matchups here, the Final Four, as well as the bowls. Also, I was very surprised by the change in the seeding. I thought Oklahoma finished as good a team as anybody in the country, and to drop them down from 3 to 4. That was very surprising in my opinion. I know Michigan State won a championship game, but I didn't think it warranted them jumping over Oklahoma, in my opinion. I think one of the things that the committee thought about with this process is that 2 versus 3, Alabama versus Oklahoma, you made a good point about they would like to see them in a championship, but I think another thing is they didn't want Oklahoma playing in Dallas as a 3 seed. And it'll be somewhat of a home game for them. And I still thought they should have kept them at a 3 because both teams get equal amount of tickets. Alabama fans are going to travel as well. I didn't think that should have been a reason why they dropped them down to number 4. I think it's somewhat unfair to Clemson as a number 1 seed because I think Oklahoma's better than Michigan State. And they're playing a better team, in my opinion. And so I think that was a disservice to Clemson as a number 1 seed. And I mean, I have to sit down and think about who I would like in that game, but I think Oklahoma's got a good chance to beat Clemson in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think that was a disservice to Clemson. If you're saying that they're 1 seed, you putting up the better team against them. I definitely like Alabama over Michigan State. But the Clemson Oklahoma game, I think, will be a tougher decision to make. In that particular game, I was actually surprised that Iowa got picked over Ohio State too in the Rose Bowl.
I was trying to be cool, Rod. I was trying to be cool, Rod. Don't get me started on it. You don't have no idea how pissed off I was that they put Iowa over Ohio State. I said, seriously, who's gonna watch Iowa and Stanford? Ain't nobody gonna watch that game. If Ohio State played Stanford, they would have had a better watch. That's why I said the Fiesta Bowl had to be just giggling to get Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Rose Bowl blew it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And Stanford, I'm not saying Stanford and Iowa won't be a good game, but I just felt like that Iowa really hasn't beaten, at least I know Ohio State lost to Michigan State, but they beat Michigan. I don't think Iowa has beaten any team of that caliber all season, even at 11-1. So that's the reason why I would have put Ohio State in the Rose Bowl against Stanford and maybe have sent Iowa to the Fiesta Bowl. But I still think those would be two good bowl games, the Rose Bowl, Stanford against Iowa. I mean, I like Stanford in that matchup. Ohio State, Notre Dame. I mean, I like Ohio State in that game. I think both of those would be some pretty good games. I like Oklahoma State against Ole Miss. Ole Miss came back strong in the Sugar Bowl. Ole Miss ended the season, you know, blowing everybody out here in the last few weeks of the season. So that should be a pretty intriguing matchup as well in the Sugar Bowl. So it's going to be some exciting college football. And, you know, we'll do our annual bowl challenge here in a couple of weeks. And so our listeners out there, if you're interested, we'll be sending invites. If you're interested, send us an email. We'll be doing our 12-man sports bowl challenge. And pretty sad to see about 4, 5, and 7 teams making the bowl games. That's ridiculous.
That's when you have too many bowl games. They're out of control. They just have a bowl
game
for no reason. Yeah, I think they said they went to, like, some kind of crazy scholastic factor score to figure out which 5 and 7 teams got into the bowl games. When you have to take it to that, then that means you got to let some bowl games go.
Yeah. Some other bowl games that are intriguing, the Alamo Bowl, TCU against Oregon. Oregon came on strong at the end of the season. That should be pretty intriguing. Michigan and Florida in the Citrus Bowl. So they got
that's
a few.
That's going to be a rock fight. That in Northwestern and Tennessee.
It's going to be a dog fight.
Man, that's going to set offensive football back about 50 years, both of those games. That's going to be hard to watch.
It'll be like this NFL game. And I agree with you. I like North Carolina over Baylor. I mean, I was impressed even in loss to Clemson the other night. They were very competitive. And if you're happy with Les Miles going to the Texas Bowl.
Oh, here we go.
I won't get started on that one.
Yeah,
let's move
on. Because you know if you do it, I'm going to come get you. And I'm going to copy that clip. And I'm going to put it in so we can do it again.
We're going to show next week.
Yes, sir. You already know.
If you're happy we're going to the Texas Bowl, then keep Les Miles.
I'm sorry, Dre. We off.
Wow.
You gotta take
a
drop.
I'm just letting you guys talk, man, because you guys are just kind of doing your thing, man. That's what's up, man. We did go on a little tangent there. That was fun. In an interesting move, South Carolina names Will Muschamp head coach, and you hope that, speaking of going off the rails, you hope that he didn't have any temper tantrums like he did in Auburn.
Man.
So I guess, is this a good move, JQ, or what do you think about this? Is this like, sloppy seconds, or is this actually a pretty good move for South Carolina?
You know, honestly, you know, with this move, and I don't mean to take the be the buzz kid, but what this move does for me is make me think, why don't we have more black assistant coaches or head coaches getting chances? Will Muschamp has just self-combusted at Florida, and then in the Iron Bowl, during the Iron Bowl, he was going nuts on the sidelines. Is that the guy you want to come recruit? Joe Sun to complain? That's what you want for your head coach to be? That just reeks of desperation of South Carolina. I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I will come back and admit to it. But to me, why not give – instead of all these retread coaches, why not give somebody else a shot? Give him a shot. I mean, he can't do much worse than Will Muschamp did at Florida. You sent him up for the same thing. In SEC school, I mean, with worse facilities and worse in-state talent, I mean, I don't get it. I'm sorry. Don't let me get off the rails again. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Well, I agree. I think it was a bad hire by South Carolina. I was not impressed with him as a head coach at Florida. And, you know, I mean, if you can't win with that kind of talent in your backyard at Florida, what makes you think you're going to win in South Carolina? When you know the recruiting base is not as strong in that state.
Right.
And so I think it was a bad hire. I think when you're talking about South Carolina, you got to have a coach. I mean, I think Steve Spurrier was a great hire for that program. He really overachieved at that school. And even though they never really won a championship, he still overachieved at that particular school. And so I don't think this was a great hire. Obviously, Kirby Smart was their first choice, but if you're Kirby Smart, you get to go coach at your alma mater of Georgia. And Georgia is definitely a better recruiting base and a better program, so obviously you made the right choice there if you're Kirby Smart. And so, obviously, this is sloppy seconds. I think it's a bad hire. If you're South Carolina, I would have gave a guy like Lane Kiffin another chance.
No.
Over a Will Muschamp. I think Kiffin would have been a better recruiter. He would have been able to get players to come in from other states to come to South Carolina. Will Muschamp's just not going to get the job done.
I would have liked the guy.
Not saying Lane Kiffin should have been the first choice, but if you're going to go for an assistant in the SEC.
My thing about that is the head coach of Bowling Green had to take a job at Syracuse, and he has Bowling Green playing really well. I think they won the MAC, I think, this year, and they're in the bowl game. Why not give that guy a shot over somebody you've seen fail before on that stage? You know, at least try to be innovative and give somebody else that, you know, has good offensive principles. He's got a great offense right there in the MAC. Over Will Muschamp and this stuff, that just rubs me the wrong way. I don't understand it. I don't.
Another guy I would have been very high on is Art Brown's son at Baylor. His son is also the offensive coordinator there at Baylor. And obviously Baylor's been good on the offensive side of the ball for quite some time. I would have gave him an opportunity as well over Will Muschamp.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, man. I mean, anyone is better than Will Muschamp. You know, there's an outside rumor. There's an Andre Peterson that was right there. He was waiting to take him to the next level, man. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that later, man. So it's all.
Oh, man. It would have been 0-12 every year.
Hey, wow.
Nah, man. I can win at least three games, bro. You know what I'm saying? Hey, just to kind of like piggyback on that, I agree with you guys, man. It was kind of one of the situations, guys, where I think like South Carolina maybe panicked. They didn't really. You know, they wanted to get a name in their guys, and this is kind of like who they figured that would help turn around, you know, recognize. But, I mean, I don't know. Like you said, I agree with you, JQ. He failed at Florida. Like you said, Rob, a ton of talent, and he didn't do anything, man. So maybe he learns from that lesson. Maybe that's what they're hoping on. But, we'll keep an eye on the situation. We think that Clemson is going to continue to run that state right now. That's my thought process on that as well. All right, guys. We are kind of shifting gears. We're going to talk about some NBA here. And the Warriors, guys, man, them jokers can't be stopped. 22-0. Rob, is the record from the Bulls in jeopardy, or they're just playing phenomenal basketball right now, sir?
I think the record is in jeopardy. I mean, I can very well see this team going 73-9, 74-8, something along those lines. I mean, you got to realize right now, a fourth of the season is already over with here. I mean, obviously, there's still 75% of the season left to be played. And, obviously, barring any injuries, they have an opportunity, I would think. I mean, lately they've been involved in some very close games. But it's hard to beat a team that can shoot the three ball like the way they do. And Curry, I mean, this guy is almost 50% from the three-point line. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Draymond Green is a very intriguing ball player as well. He brings an attitude to their ball club. Mm-hmm. He's also stepping out, knocking down the three-pointers. He's also playing physical defense as well. You got good wings and Iguodala and Klay Thompson as well. And it's a very versatile ball club. And but like I said, Steph Curry gets that three-ball shot over anybody in the league, seven-footers. It's ridiculous the way they're shooting the basketball, and a very underrated defensive team. Not a great defensive team, but a very underrated defensive team as well. Like I said, they're winning some close games on the road, but they're still getting the job done. And at home, they're just blowing people out.
JQ, your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with any of that, and he sums up pretty nicely. Steph Curry is the heart of that team, but Draymond Green is the soul of that team. And you got to kind of have that yin and yang, and they can pull on different pieces of the emotions. But when they bring it together, it's almost like they're in the Matrix and everybody else is just – they're just at a different speed. The way they feed each other on three-point shots, cutting to the hole, getting out on breaks, that offense, the way they are running, I mean, it's phenomenal to watch. And I'm not a Golden State fan, but when you watch them play, that's just good fundamental basketball on both ends of the court. And if you like basketball, you have to be able to appreciate that. I mean, unless you just hated the Warriors for whatever reason in your life. But outside of that, what they're doing is phenomenal. It's something to behold. And I think they very well can challenge the Bulls 72 wins. I mean, again, a healthy team, as deep as they are and as young as they are for the most part, I think they can make a run. Like, they have young legs for the most part on that team. It's not like they have old legs where they have to manage and, you know, and slip and slide and get by. They're going to have some nights where they aren't shooting as well, because whenever you have to live by the three ball, you die by the three ball inevitably. But I don't think that's going to happen more than 10 times in this 82-game season the way they're playing.
They're definitely, in my opinion, the best team in all of sports right now. So it's the way they're playing right now.
Yes, agreed.
Gentlemen, we got about 9 minutes and 40 seconds, man. We've just been going on all kinds of tangents, man. So let's keep this moving a little quicker here. A quick note in that the 76ers named Jerry Colangelo, president of basketball operations. Anything special about this move, Rob?
Well, I mean, he had some success in that role with the Phoenix Suns. I mean, he never won a championship. But it's Philadelphia 76ers organization is in disarray right now. They've been tanking for about 5 years now to try to get that elite player. And, I mean, when are they going to start trying to build this team is, you know, it's mind-boggling to me. So I think this is a good move for the Sixers. I mean, Jerry Colangelo would definitely get them competitive, I believe, in a few years. Whether they win a championship, that's, you know, yet to be seen. But I think this is a step in the right direction. And what also was mind-boggling to me is they're thinking about giving the head coach, Brett Brown, an extension. I mean, obviously, you know, he hasn't had the personnel, but how do you give a guy an extension? The team is like 1-20.
Because they've handcuffed him. So I agree with everything you said, but you can't fire that guy after you openly embrace
him. No, not fire him, but how do you give him an extension?
Because they feel like he's putting down good principles, I guess, but if, you know, he hasn't, they have to. Because he has all these losses on his record. They're trying to do right by that dude, and I'm not mad. He must be giving them the right message because they're young. Because he gets a lot of L's at their expense. But I agree with that. It just depends on how much power they give him to actually make moves and say, okay, we're done with this piece of it. Is this tanking period over? Like, you've done enough, now we're going to have to build it up? Or is he going to be along with it? And I can't see him doing that. And so it just depends on how much power he has in the building. I think if he gets some power, then he can speed that process up in Philadelphia.
Austin, you done there?
Yeah.
Man, I'm not mad. I'm just kind of letting – this is kind of going with the flow here, man. So, anyway, Rob, JQ, we got about – like I said, we got about 7 minutes, so we're still kind of moving here. Let's talk about LeBron James and signing that lifetime deal with Nike. Hold on, let me pause this here. I got too much stuff on the background here as I'm trying to, like, do two different things at once here. Let's put that on pause. All right, there we go. LeBron James, he signs a lifetime – I'm trying to do two different things here. He signs a lifetime deal with Nike. Lord have mercy. Rob, what are your thoughts about this, sir? Amazing.
Well, obviously, he's set for life, obviously. He's probably set for life even before this deal. But, I mean, it's he's definitely built an empire and set himself up well. And hopefully he keeps his head on pretty straight up to this point in his career. He pretty much has from a business standpoint. You know, he stays out of, you know, he may make a few dumb comments here and there, but as far as his off the field, you know, things, he stays out of trouble, keeps his nose clean, and hopefully keeps his head on straight and continue to be an example for young men that, you know, you can be a good basketball player as well as a good businessman going forward here. Financial terms of this agreement have not been released. I know his previous contract was 7 years for $90 million with Nike. So there's no telling how much this lifetime contract is for. But he's definitely set himself up well for after basketball.
JQ.
Yeah, you know, what happened is that he just got to Michael Jordan status just faster than Michael Jordan did. And that's just saying something. Because I think Michael's pretty much got the same kind of deal with Nike, if you really look into it, with the Jumpman and everything else. He just got there faster because he started sooner. He lived in an age where he could get to that point quicker. So I'm not super overly surprised about that. And, I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, mutually beneficial. He sells a lot of Nike product, and they're paying him handsomely for it. So I did read one story that says his pack is significantly bigger than Kevin Durant's 10-year, $300 million pack.
Mm-hmm. It says the largest in Nike history.
In history, man. That's insane, guys, man. So like you said, give LeBron, you know, we can talk about it as much as you want. You know, he's been a good business guy, man, whether he's hooking up with Beats, investing in that, Beats by Dre.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, man, great call, man. So, you know, I'm not, you know, haters gonna hate, as they say. So he's gonna continue to make money and have some type of ownership, possibly in the Cavaliers or something after this is all said and done. So good job, guys. All right, let's do some fantasy shout-outs. Robbie, we're right at 5 minutes, so that's kind of giving you a time check there. So let's do some fantasy shout-outs.
Man, time flies when you're having fun, man. This seemed like one of the fastest shows we've ever had.
Yeah.
Forget our fantasy shout-outs. Obviously, we still got a game going on tonight, so I'm going to go over last week's fantasy results because we didn't go over those. With this week's game still going on, so from last week in league number one, the biggest win was by my co-host, the Ohio Players. JQ actually beat me pretty good, man. You know, I hate that I got to report this on the air, but you know, I would be fair. 181.12 to my 115.40. And also in first place is still the Bristol Bombers, Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut, 12-1 in league number one. In league number two, Kid Kev 23 from New Orleans with the biggest win of the week, 166.92 over Fleur de Lis, 69.84. My co-host, Ohio Players, in first place in the league at 10-2.
Yes,
man,
sir.
You're doing good in two leagues right there.
Yes, sir.
And league number three, one? Winning. I'm sorry?
Yeah, but in this one's not so good.
Oh. You got to have one dud, huh?
Yep, yeah, that's
and, in league number three, winning with the biggest win of the week. Last week, 145.64 over the Kings team to 59.92, winning also in first place in that league.
Damn.
That's also Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut. He's 13-0.
Did you say 145 to 59? Yeah, okay, that's the same thing. Okay.
In our fantasy basketball, the biggest winner of this current week that just ended on yesterday, Saints Pelicans 23, Ronald from New Orleans with a 7-1 win over my co-host, the Ohio Players.
Yep.
Doing good in football, but still getting it together in basketball.
Yeah, that's what 7-1 win. Your team. Your whole team. So that's what happens if your whole team get benched and get hurt.
Oh, so Ronald, Saints Pelicans 23, is also in first place in the league at 33-14-1. Those are our fantasy shout-outs for the week. Appreciate you guys playing with us, too.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys. I just want to say I'm pretty upset that, you know, Mike McCarthy didn't tell me about, you know, Eddie Lacy and stuff like that. Man, that one kind of messed me up, man. So he should have told me that, you know, he was in doghouse or something like that. I'm just not happy.
Yes.
A couple things, man. They should consult me before – you know, I set my lineup, man. That's all I'm saying. Because, you know, some things that didn't go the way that they should have went, man. So that's all I'm saying. Okay.
I just had to
talk about that. All right, gentlemen, we are officially 2 minutes here. We got to get ready to go to the OT portion. JQ, anything else you want to wrap up as we get ready to get our OT portion started?
Oh, no, man. I'm good. I appreciate everybody for listening. Stay tuned for the rest of the show and download it tomorrow. Appreciate you.
Robert Ford, set it up for the OT, sir.
Yeah, once again, of course, unfortunately, we can't give you our OT portion live, but we still got some NFL we're going to get to here in the OT portion. So definitely on tomorrow when you're eating your lunch, you know, click on the same link and listen to us. Let us know if you like what we're saying, if you dislike what we're saying. Follow us, of course, on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. You know, throughout the week, we post updates on what's happening in the sports world. So definitely continue to support us. And we certainly appreciate everyone tuning into the show. We'll be back on again live on next Monday night. None of our teams are playing on Monday night next week, so we'll be doing it again on Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. And that'll be 8 p.m. Pacific time for our West Coasters. Good night, people.
Stay classy, San Diego. Stay classy, San Diego.
Got in it twice. I got a move for every move you make. Woo! Man, oh man. All right, gentlemen. We are, Robert, you got that in there pretty quickly, man. I thought you were going to have a little extra time, man, but literally, we're still officially on the air. We've got 30 seconds or so. But we're going to kick this off. We're going to talk about some more NFL here, and we are going to talk about Johnny Manziel. So, apparently, gentlemen, word on the street is that Cleveland's going to give Johnny football, whatever you want to call him, another opportunity. So I'm going to kick it off with you. Yeah, I'm going to kick it off with you, JQ. Not only do we think that Johnny Manziel has pitchers. No, I'm just joking. Is this a good move for the Browns? What's happening with this? Is this something that they're going to regret later, or are they just kind of throwing him a bone? What, ironically, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that he might have stuck in the doghouse a little longer if McCown doesn't get hurt, right? So McCown gets hurt, and they lose a heartbreaking game to Baltimore, and then they start Austin Davis against Cincinnati, and they get destroyed. I mean, he got suspended for two games. You lost two games. You have to find out, again, what you have in Johnny Manziel and not waste it, because you got to be able to move forward. You have some quarterbacks in this draft that you might want to consider. So I don't see anything wrong with it. At this point, what else do you have to lose? What's your better alternative? It's not Austin Davis. So start Johnny Manziel.
What are your thoughts, Rob?
Well, I agree. I mean, I think this all kind of started with the Josh McCown injury. And this is one more chance for them to see what they may have in Johnny. I think they pretty much know what they have in Johnny Manziel. They just have no choice but to start him at this stage here. You know, when you're a first-round pick, you're going to get a lot more chances than if you were a seventh-round pick. So they're still trying to see if they can find something out of this guy. But I think they pretty much know what they have. I think they know they have Johnny Bitty Ball and not Johnny Football. But they have no choice but to play him, you know, in this stage, especially with Josh McCown being injured as well. So, I mean, I can't see him being with the Browns next season. I think they go into the offseason with a plan for trying to get a quarterback via free agency or the draft again. Right now, I believe they only have two wins on the season, and I think they'll be in line for the number one pick. So they will have a chance to possibly get another crack at getting a quarterback in the draft here.
Nice. Anything else to add to that, JQ? Are you good?
I don't think about it. I don't know if they would spend a number one pick. I don't know if any of those quarterbacks are worth the number one pick. What I would hate is for them to draft Bosa from Ohio State, but they might because of that Cleveland-Ohio State connection. But it just depends on if a quarterback rockets up during the draft process. I mean, there are four of them in there that can go in the first round, but I don't think either one of them would be worth number one right now. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Good call. All right, keep moving here. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about this. We are still NFL here. And I guess Jeff Fisher, wide receiver, Stedman Bailey, is probably done with football. If you did not know about what happened to Stedman Bailey, unfortunately, this is kind of one of those tragic situations where he was shot twice in the head on November the 24th, and he underwent surgery. And I guess though those injuries weren't considered life-threatening, they may have ended his career. So this is kind of one of those sad scenarios, too. Just, you know, maybe wrong place at wrong time, but just third-year wide receiver here, so not a good thing. Rob, you want to kind of talk about this as well, sir?
Yeah, not a whole lot on this situation. Obviously, it's just a very sad story of a young man who possibly could have had a long career in the National Football League and obviously cut short by this tragic situation. And, you know, obviously our prayers go out to him and his family, and hopefully, even if he doesn't play in the NFL, hopefully he recovers from this.
JQ?
Yeah, and the thing about it, sometimes you can't, you know, outgrow your surroundings, because I question why he was in the car with three other people in Miami Gardens, I believe is where he was, where the shooting happened.
Yeah, Miami Gardens.
Yeah, and not to excuse it, because, I mean, I feel really bad for him and his family, even outside of football. But sometimes it's another one of those hard lessons you have to learn, where you can't always go back where you came from once you made it, because people won't let you. And I think this is another example of that, and it's really sad.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sad cock. Yeah, we put it in there. I want to talk about that, too. But just a tough scenario, and you both gentlemen handled it well as far as the explanation about that, too. All right, so the Colts are expected to have Matt Hasselbeck start despite some neck and rib injuries, and I'm thinking they don't have enough depth, or they're still waiting for Angelic to come back. But what are your thoughts on this move, JQ?
Yeah, because I don't think Jesus Whitehurst, better known as Charlie Whitehurst, is ready to come in for Indianapolis. And keep them moving next week. What you should say is the Colts are praying that Matt Hasselbeck can play despite neck and rib injuries because they won't have anything else. And they're in a bad division, so they're barely hanging on by a thread anyway, and pretty much in the wild card race. So they got to win that division. So they really need Matt Hasselbeck to come in. Even outside of them losing to Pittsburgh, that's just a tough game for them.